Father, thank you for your word this morning. Your word is like bread, fresh from the oven. As we break this bread, for each one to have a share, we pray that that which we receive will bring nourishment, will bring encouragement, will bring strength, will bring healing. Most of all, will bring transformation. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can everybody hear me well? Can everybody hear me, yeah? Good, good. So we've been looking at, for the past, I think this is the fourth Sunday in the series, for the past three Sundays, we've been looking at what it is to be a witness for Jesus. You know, because on Easter, Jesus rose from the dead. And then he commissioned his disciples to go let the people know that he who was dead is now alive. And that because he is now alive, all things have been made new. And these things are of God. And that the kingdom is here. So we've been looking at what it means to be a witness for Jesus because of his resurrection from the dead. So we saw in the first Sunday, we saw that we've been chosen to be a witness. Remember the story of the football teams I shared? How that the captain chooses the players? Jesus is our captain. And he has chosen us to be on his team. But not only that, he said, I have chosen you. You haven't chosen me. He says, and I have appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will remain. And that appointment is authority. He's authorized us. Remember in Matthew 28, what we call the Great Commission. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go. So he's chosen us, he's appointed us, he's authorized us to be witnesses. And last Sunday we looked at how we pray for witnessing opportunities. And I used the story of Eliezer who went searching for Isaac's wife as a kind of typology to help us understand how we can pray for witnessing opportunities. Does anybody remember any of those things I mentioned? So what do we pray for? What are those things we pray for when we're praying for witnessing opportunities? Does anybody remember? Oh, I thought Jackie was going to say something. Do you remember we said, pray for boldness? He said, grant me success this day. Pray for boldness. But he also said, the lady to whom I say. So we said, pray for the right words. And then he also prayed that the woman who says to me, yes, we're here. Hello. You know, says, the lady to whom that says this to me, drink, and I'll also give your camels water to drink. So we pray for boldness, we pray for the right words, but we also pray for openness. That the person we're talking to or sharing with is open. And the last one, he said, when she responds this way, then I will know that she's the one you've chosen for my master, Isaac. In other words, discernment. Pray for discernment. Pray to discern who is open and ready to receive. So those were the things we've been sharing so far. So today we're looking at our partnership for witness. Partnership for witness. In the gospel reading Bob brought to us earlier on, Jesus sent the 72 disciples, not as a group. He sent them in pairs. He sent them two by two to every town and every village he was about to go to. I'm hearing this song in my head as I'm talking. The animals went in two by two, hurrah, hurrah. The animals went in two by two, hurrah, hurrah. The animals went in two by two, la 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 la. It was just ringing in my head as I was talking, yeah. So yeah, he sent them two by two. And you often see that there's kind of like this pattern throughout scripture. The first human beings were created as a pair. Adam and Eve. Remember when Joshua sent spies into the promised land? He sent two. Because he learned from their own experience of sending 10. it cost them 40 years. So he decided to send two this time. But you almost see that pattern throughout scripture where things happen in pairs. I mean, there's no saying that we can't go as a group. That's not what I'm emphasizing. But I'm just like, it's interesting to see a pattern through scripture. So today, in the first reading that Ruthie read to us, we read about two guys. Next slide, please. Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas. Now, let's refresh our minds to what Ruthie read to us. So this is from Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. But I think this is from verse 3. It said, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Now, the interesting thing is, this is not the first time Saul and Barnabas were working together. If you go back a few chapters, Acts chapter 9 is when Saul at the time, had his Damascus experience, where he was knocked off his high horse on his way to persecuting Christians. And then he became a Christian as a result of that encounter. But then, people were scared to allow him into their fellowship because they were like, this is the bad boy. We're not sure if he's really a Christian. But there was somebody who went and took him by the hand. A guy called Barnabas. So while everybody was trying to distance themselves from Saul because they weren't sure if his conversion was real, if he was truly what he said he was, Barnabas went and said, come. And took him. And they became partners. In fact, Barnabas took him to Antioch, where this event happened. He took him to Antioch in Acts chapter 12. And for a whole year, they were teaching the disciples in Antioch. In fact, that was the place where they were first called Christians. The word Christian didn't exist until that point. So they developed a friendship, a partnership. But then, here, the Holy Spirit now wants to put and expand the scope of their partnership. He now says, set them apart for the work I have called them to do. So the Holy Spirit partnered them officially before everyone. That, like, I'm calling them now to do something extra. I'm calling them now to do something extra. Now, let's have a look at some of the things these two people did together for the kingdom of God. Next slide, please. They had crazy adventures in God. In fact, when they sent them off, the first thing they did was to go into a Jewish synagogue because they felt sent to the Jews. So they would go into a synagogue and reason the scriptures with the Jewish people in the synagogues. Obviously, that could create tension. Those who were open to it and those who resisted it. But it was in one of those synagogues that Elimas, or someone who was known as Bar Jesus, who was a wizard. The Bible says he was a sorcerer, but a more functional word is wizard. Like you have, is it Dumbledore in Harry Potter? Yeah, that kind of top wizard. Yeah. He was that kind of wizard. And Elymas heard that the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, I like that name, Sergius Paulus. It just sounds, you know, Sergius Paulus had invited Paul and Barnabas to his house because he heard of what they were talking about in the synagogue. So he said, look, I want to hear more. But Elymas did not want the proconsul to hear more because the proconsul was the governor. That's what proconsul means, the governor of the region. In other words, if the governor hears the gospel, what's going to happen to the region? It's going to shift from being under the influence of a wizard to under the influence of God. So he resisted that. And then Paul looked at him and said, you're so evil. You're so full of deceitfulness. You're a false prophet. And because of this, you're going to go blind for a season. Now you might say, is that Christian-like? I'll leave you to fathom that out. And immediately, Elymas lost his sight and was feeling, looking for who will help him. But he did not stop there. They went to other cities in Cyprus. And as they entered the cities, obviously the first port of call is the synagogue. But then as they go into the synagogue, more people were open to the gospel. And as more people were open to the gospel, guess what? Almost the entire city came to hear Saul and Barnabas. They chased them out of the synagogues. And guess what? The entire region wanted to hear Saul and Barnabas. If you check in verse 44 of Acts 13 and verse 49 in Acts 13, you will see how they moved from synagogue to house to city to region. Two people. Two people. Two people who were passionate to witness. Two people who were partnered by the Spirit. Went all out, and ripples ran through the entire region. But it did not stop there. Miracles, signs, and wonders started to happen as a result of their partnership and their ministry. In fact, it was in Lystra. They went to a town called Lystra. And there was a man who had been lame from his mother's womb. In other words, he never walked. He was crippled. He never walked from the time he was born. And while Paul was preaching, he perceived that the man had faith to be healed. And he said, stand up. And the guy got up. And he started walking. And everybody started hailing, hey, hey. But you know what? They weren't just hailing. They said, the gods have come to us in human form. And they started bringing sacrifices to offer to Saul and Barnabas. They said, Barnabas, you're cool. You're gentle. So we call you Zeus. Paul, you're Hermes because you talk a lot. And they wanted to worship them. And Paul and Barnabas rent their clothes and said, look, we are human just like you. We're not extra special, but we speak of an extra special gospel. What we carry is the extra special. We are just vessels for the extra special. We're just like yourselves. They said, we know, but they still wanted to offer them sacrifices and worship them. They challenge false teachings. They challenge false prophets. They brought the gospel in a way at the risk of their own lives. Do you know Paul was stoned to death? He was stoned to death. to death. And they dragged him out of the city and threw his body there. And do you know what the disciples did? They formed a circle around his body. And guess what? Paul came back to life. Now, if you were Paul, what would you have done? Take off. You probably say, phew, thank you, Lord. Off I go. Guess where Paul went to? Back to the city. Crazy folks. He went back to the place where he had been stoned to death. Why? Because his life did not matter anymore. In fact, one of the meanings of the word witness is matter. I'm not saying we're matters. I'm just saying that's one of the meanings of the word. It means you've come to a point where your life has become his. You've become a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. So these two continued. They planted churches, trained disciples, raised elders to look after these churches. And in the space of 3-4 years that they were partners, it was wonderful. They suffered together. They rejoiced together. And then in Acts chapter 15, something happened. You see, because early on in their relationship, they took John Mark, who was a cousin to Barnabas, with them. And John Mark fled. When the pressure got too much, John Mark said, "These guys are crazy," and took off. And Paul didn't like that. Paul did not like that at all. So when John Mark came back, Barnabas was like, you know, he was fatherly, he was pastoral. He was just like, "Oh, John." Paul said, "No, we're not having him. We're not having him." So do you know what? They split. Barnabas went with John Mark, and Paul went with Silas. You know Silas? The story when they were in jail, Paul and Silas. Paul went with Silas, and they later found Timothy. And new partnerships emerged. But from that point onwards, that great partnership of Saul and Barnabas ceased to be. So even in partnerships, if we're not sensitive, if we're not humble, if we're not caring towards one another, we can lose the very thing that brought us together. They did not fight over teaching or doctrine. They were clear about that, but they fought about relationships. In fact, the Bible describes it as a sharp disagreement, a sharp one. In other words, it probably ended with a few words that didn't go in print. And these two split. And because Luke was more close to Paul, he wrote more about Paul anyway. Barnabas equally must have succeeded in his ministry, but these two didn't physically come back together. I'm sure they forgave one another, but that partnership ended. So the joys of partnership and the sorrows therein. Next slide, please. But we want to focus more on the benefits of partnership. When we partner with others for witness, we're complementing one another. Barnabas was gentle. He was very pastoral. When nobody wanted to touch Saul with a pole, Barnabas took him by the hand. In fact, he was described as a good man, full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. In fact, his real name wasn't Barnabas. Barnabas was his nickname. His real name was Joseph. Joseph didn't quite match with that. His real name was Joseph. But because he was somebody who gave, he was generous. They said, You're an encouraging person. He was generous with his words. He was generous with his finances, everything he had. He was a very liberal-hearted person. So they nicknamed him Barnabas. And Saul was nicknamed Paul. Because Paul means short dude. So Paul was very short. Maybe that's why he had a temper. I'm not saying much about it, but he was a short guy. So they nicknamed the short one Paul. But Paul was feisty. Paul was rugged. You know? Paul will stay there and argue and persuade you and reason with you. He wouldn't back down. I mean, we could tell from his previous life. And yet these two that would have seemed to be like north and south seemed to work together. The Holy Spirit said, set them apart for the work I've called both of them to do. So in witnessing, God doesn't want you to go all alone. Even though there might be situations and circumstances where you're all alone. But remember, you're there with the Holy Spirit anyway. But oftentimes, he wants us to share with others. Jesus sent them two by two. Not because one wasn't adequate, but because two heads are better than one. For great is the reward of their labor. He says, one who put 1,000 to flight. Two, 10,000. There's multiplied effort. There's multiplication when two and more come together. Like the joke, they always say, how many people does it take to change a light bulb? is there division of labor? You know, but there's multiplied effort. There's wider reach when we partner. Two are better than one. Two are better than one. Do you know, after David killed Goliath, the women were rejoicing and dancing. And then they saw Saul coming. And they were like, hey, Saul. Saul killed his thousands. David is 10,000. And Saul said, say what? Saul killed thousands? David 10,000s? And he became jealous of David. And he wanted to kill David from that time. Why? Because he thought they were saying, you just killed 1,000. David is doing better. But if he had been wise, he will have realized they were saying, if you can get 1,000, Saul, if you have David on your side, you will get 10,000. Your partnership will make Israel the top dog of all the nations. But he didn't understand that. He thought they were saying, your thousands, David is 10,000. And that messed him up from that point onwards. And besides, there's confidence in numbers. Jesus said, I'm sending you like lambs among wolves. So you may look like lunch. But when you go in two, there's confidence in numbers. You complement each other. And depending on the size of people you're going to reach, you can be more than two. But God wants us to partner for witness. It's very, very vital. You can even just start by meeting to pray together and saying, Lord, we don't even know what to do, but we want to witness. How best can we do this? And if you're open to the Lord, He'll direct your steps. Let us pray. Father, you are the most important person in our lives, our partner. But we thank you for you choose to share that with others, with us. And you encourage us to partner with others because in partnership, there is productivity, there's multiplication, there's impact. Help us to know those you have set us apart with to connect to, so that we can begin to just reach out and let people know of the good things you have done for us in Christ. So we receive this grace today in Jesus' name. Amen.